Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of It's Not My Fault the OHG Podcast is Not Popular. We are on episode 146. My name is Helen.
Maybe it's Justin.
And now we don't have the winter anime season to talk about, we don't have the spring anime season to talk about, and so now Justin and I can finally talk about whatever else we've been watching and reading. Although, for me, it's definitely just spring shows I hadn't gotten to by the time we recorded last time. There's a lot here.
there was a lot of spring shows.
And for both of us, there was one show that hadn't even aired yet, A Couple of Cuckoos, which we both checked out.
Yes, I only got to the first episode.
Oh, same.
I meant to watch the second one, but... I mean, I read the first volume of the manga, so...
I meant to watch the second episode today, but then I was like, nah, it's rainy. I'm taking a nap.
Just got caught up reading some J-Novel Club stuff. I'll get to a couple of J-Novel Club stuff later, but...
I mean, yeah. I've been doing that too, but I have been binging Bookworm before bed, so that is a different time of day, so...
Well, I think I do want to point out, I'm kind of a Miki Yoshikawa... I don't want to say stan, but I do kind of enjoy her works.
I also consider myself a fan of her stuff.
I obviously like the Yamada and the Seven Witches. A Couple of Cuckoos, not quite as good, but there's still stuff I like so far, even though it's still kind of the typical boy, his harem, all that stuff. There's still some typical stuff there, but there's something about it that, I don't know, it grabs me. And I guess in this case... it has the illogical plot line of separated or mixed up at birth. I don't know how you doctors, nurses, how do you let that happen? But yeah.
I mean, it does happen every now and then, just not as frequently these days.
I guess, yeah, best back in the earlier days, obviously technology and everything wasn't as, or how they separated wasn't as good. But yeah, still like, okay, so you got one kid who's on the one side of the family and the other kid at the other side of the family is like, and then at some point they realize, oh wait, it should be swapped around, we should go switch this up. So what was it, Erica, that's one of the main characters, and I forgot the, I want to say it's a model, but I think that's the last name of Erica. Names are always tough for me sometimes, but the point is, the smart guy, I'll go with that, ends up meeting Erica just randomly, trying to, I guess, get Instagram followers. They don't call it Instagram, but it's a former Instagram, but by trying to think she's about to try to kill herself. She's not trying to kill herself, she's trying to get attention. He ends up stopping her. They end up being in the most classic way possible, boobs first. He ends up learning that she actually just wants to try to cause a scene so her parents won't actually marry her off. From that respect, okay, that's kind of, there's some interesting parts in there. It ends up getting more interesting later when they end up finding out, oh wait, they're actually the ones that separate together. And remember when you said that if the person you met was, you want to marry that person, why don't we just punch them? Yeah, she ended up holding on to that part of the bargain. The first episode was interesting, and then it's going to be more interesting when the other girls enter his life, enters life. Well, consider, or in this case, his rival, and then his not sister, even though they're basically sisters. They're basically family. So, yes, fun times with A Couple of Cuckoos for sure. Fun times.
Yeah, I'll admit the basic premise of, so you two got switched at birth, and we do want to meet our biological child, but honestly, we love you both so much, so we've decided you two should get married, and then you're everybody's children. I'll admit, I find that setup pretty funny to start with, actually. Like, it is definitely not realistic, it is definitely manga comedy, but I find it funny. But yeah, the fact that one of the people definitely gunning for this guy's bones is his sister... the one he was raised with, so not biologically related, sister. It's like, no. Like my parents, they both got remarried when I was already in my 20s, but, okay, yes, I'm asexual, but even the idea of, like, having a relationship with any of my siblings in that sort of way is just, like, this deep down no. It's pretty guttural, I mean. So, I'm definitely gonna give it a couple more episodes to see if it clicks with me or not, since... you know, sometimes fun trash is still fun, but it is not going to be one of my highest most highly regarded shows this season, I think.
Right. And I was hearing, like, the first, like when I read the first volume of that, that was pretty much its high point. I've basically heard rumors that, yeah, it just basically just devolves into nothing. There's some issues that pop up after, like, the first couple, 10 or so chapters. That's what I'm hearing. But I'll find out. Miki Yoshikawa, what do you got for me? Just deliver it to me on a platter. I will consume it, and I'll let you know if it tastes bad or not later.
Yeah, and then, like I said, I got to a bunch of shows that I hadn't gotten around to last time we recorded. Still all shows on Crunchyroll. I still haven't made my way over to the high dive shows yet, which is partially because I really just want to get to my backlog on Funimation, and so I'm kind of torn about what I should do. But for the other shows I watched, I said last time that I was prioritizing new shows over sequels, so I hadn't gotten to Bookworm or the second season of Love Live! Nijigasaki yet. Did get to both of those. I've seen all three episodes of Bookworm so far, and then I decided I couldn't wait anymore, and since J Novel Club was doing catch-up with Bookworm for this month, I found where episode 3 left off. It was like a couple of parts into part 2, volume 3, and I read all the way to the end of part 2. I read all the rest of volume 3, all the rest of volume 4, backtracked a little bit to volume 2, since the novels, I was finding that there's a lot of little scenes that the anime had to cut for time, and I totally agree with the cuts, but I was like, oh yeah, I really want to read the novels now, because it won't just be a rehash, I'll definitely be getting something new out of it.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the more, that's kind of why I like how Bookworm has been adapted so far. Like, obviously, you can't have every little, like, there's scenes that I'm like, oh, I would have loved to have this animated, but in terms of timeline, in terms of time, there's more important stuff.
Mine's just real busy getting her book going.
Really busy, yeah.
And this third season is going to rock. There are some scenes in here which I know will be adapted, and I cannot wait to see adapted. They're gonna be real good, you know, flashy and hitting in the feels, so.
Especially in... I've been having to deal with this for, what, months now? How long has it been? A year now?
I don't know, but I read spoilers about what happens here a longer ago than that.
For, like, a good... I'm just going a year. Probably, like, maybe close to a year. But I read, like, part... It was, like, part 2, volume 4. I read it, like, a year to last year or something like that. I've been in that sadness for years. Now I gotta see the animated, Helen. More anguish. And I think I reread that like a couple of times, so it's just like, now I gotta see animated again. Perfect.
Yeah, my one non-spoiler thought from the novels is that it's really fun just to see just how tormented both Benyo and the High Priest are by all of Mine's inventions and all of her energy just everywhere. Just the two of them are just getting completely worked to the bone.
They just cannot keep up.
Although Mine's not the only one responsible for the High Priest being overworked, but she's
not
making life easier for him.
Yeah, it is important to note that as much as Mine just causes trouble, she causes technically good, well, you'll see in part 3 the type of trouble she causes, but she technically causes good trouble, or good busyness, I guess, for the High Priest.
I think that was Sean's comment on the latest Bookworm volume. He was like, only a third of the trouble was actually Mine's fault this time around, you know? And it was also funny in seeing some short stories from, like, her attendants' point of views. I was like, oh, maybe this is what Tear Moon Empire was parodying, you know, with how her attendants just sort of only see the good reasons for why she could have done anything and view her as more saintly. So that definitely reminded me a lot of the Lemony narrator in Tear Moon Empire, who's like, and then Princess Mia did such and such, and everyone thought it was grand, and Princess Mia was thinking, and then I can go home and have my sweets, finally! Light novels can be good, y'all. They can occasionally be good.
Yes.
Let's see. And speaking of sweets, I also watched Diamond Recipe for Happiness. And I'm kind of glad that our main character guy is not like the sole main character, since he's a lot to deal with. He's got a lot of emotions. He's like
lots of emotions.
He's like crying over food when it goes away. You know, his reasons for leaving are a little more nuanced than they first appear. But, you know, he's still conflicting with a lot of the folks, you know, back at the family. It's not a bakery. It's a confectionery, I guess you would say, that he's come back to. But overall, the sweetness of the show has genuinely won me over. It's not going to be, like, at the top of my to-watch list, but that's because, again, so many shows, only so many hours in the day. I only have an hour for lunch every day. Thank you, Union. I'm glad for you negotiating this, but still, that is not going to be enough for me to watch all of my anime this season. And then the last show I caught up with, which is going to be high up on my to-watch, is Heroines Run the Show, which is funny. it's actually based off of a song or a series of songs by, I believe the group's name is Honeyworks. And they're not a band. It's like a group of people who produced songs, at least starting with Vocaloid, and they might be using real people going on. And so based off of that, they've got this whole anime now. And apparently they've had anime in the past as well. I was going deep into the Wikipedia page for like the Honeyworks, like interconnected universe. We've got this girl from a small rural town in Japan who wants to keep running track, but her high school isn't going to have a track program. So she's able to transfer to a school in Tokyo. And so she's starting to adjust, yada, yada, yada. But her dad back home has an injury, so he's going to be out of work. So money's going to be extra tight. And she doesn't want to be a burden on her family, so she decides to take up a part-time job. But you know, it's kind of hard to find a part-time job, which gives you the time to, you know, go to school, do track practice, pays enough, etc. And so she finds one that's like no experience required, flexible hours, yada, yada, yada. And it turns out is to be a manager in training for the two pop stars in her class. Two guys with just awful personalities as of this point. And it's funny, it feels really like an mid-2000s shoujo series that we don't get as much anymore. Since the focus so far is not romance. Like, there may be romance coming, but that is definitely not the point right now. It's definitely just a focus on her life. You know, she's making new friends, she's balancing track, she's got to keep her idol manager job a secret, all those things, and I'm really enjoying it. That one just came out of nowhere for me. And then, oh, I did see Pompo the Cinephile, the movie, but do you want to talk about some of the J-novel stuff you were reading first?
Just making sure, is that the last, with the final spring show you was keeping up with?
I mean, I already mentioned I'm watching Nijigasaki season 2, Justin.
All right, fair enough.
It has even more goals than before.
It has even more.
Even more.
Girls. Goals.
Spelled G-O-R-L-S.
Yeah, it's like, yes, it has.
I've been listening to Idol Days too much.
I know we talk about, like, for Love Live, you definitely gotta have a favorite girl because there's so many girls you definitely gotta remember all of them. This season definitely emphasizes that you better have your favorite girls because you're not, and especially if you don't get a focus episode, you're not gonna remember all of them. It's just it's too many.
Yeah, I remember the joke at first was that, oh, since Superstars only had 5 girls, like their extra girls were now going over to Nijigasaki, but they just had an announcement that there's going to be 4 new girls joining Superstars, so now Superstar is going to have the usual 9, and Nijigasaki's just got, like, 14 of them running around by this point.
Okay, but technically it makes sense for that to happen, though, right?
For Superstars or Nijigasaki?
Superstar, because you already had the
first. Yeah, for Superstars, it does make more sense. Although I did like that it had fewer girls, because then it was really able to give all of them more focus.
That's what the first season's for, though.
Yeah, and now we are going to get our red and blue-haired lesbians in the second season, but a very crucial pairing. But Nijigasaki's just got so many girls running around now. We've got even more girls transferring in from overseas because they really want to be school idols. And just...
Yeah.
It's a lot of girls.
And more singing. And more good, I think, posing.
Honestly, honestly, when I watch this show, I don't have high hopes, but I do want at least one idol performance per episode, so... Which I know is asking a lot of the show, but...
All right, since I mentioned it earlier, yes, I have been... on that J-Novel Club kick, I guess. And they have some new stuff, too. So, gonna get into that. I'm gonna start with, I guess, their hype is the title that I think was the most hype, because this had an anime, The Misfit Demon Academy. This is actually kind of fun, and I can see why people liked it. Basically, there's this demon lord, Annus Valdigold. He's like, all right, time for peace. This is it. No more fighting. I want to actually have peace. So he ends up negotiating with the hero and a couple other people. They enter a basic agreement, and then he ends up getting technically sealed, but he's supposed to come back. A good amount of time passes, and he ends up getting reincarnated, sorry, as a baby, but in this case, when he comes out of the room, he already starts talking. Like, he already just says, hey, my name is, don't give me your other weird human name. My name is Annus. There you go. Don't call me us. The parents are just totally shocked. And then, like, he's already somehow at, like, high school age a month later. I guess demons grow up fast, don't they? So, yeah, he thought being this way, that at this point, peace would actually happen. And in some ways, it kind of did. But when he goes to Demon Academy, things have changed. Everybody's there's considerably weaker. Everybody's been taught. Everything's considerably weaker. Like the teaching's weaker. Everything's just considerably down. Is this a time of because it's peaceful? He suspects, or at least he's starting to suspect, that maybe because of something being overwritten, because he's no longer considered the founder. Somebody else is. So yeah, there is some interesting stuff at play. It's just that it's still your typical. Oh no, this demon's really. Who is this? Who is this girl who doesn't know what a founder is? How do you act this way? There's no way you're stronger than any of us, and obviously overpowers him just like that. So I don't think it's gonna change like anything if you're like into if you're already like, oh, it's those power fantasies and anything like that. But out of all the power fantasies, there's some interest in that one. And I think it's mostly because the protagonist either somebody you either love or you'll basically hate. And I mean hate in this case, you actually like, okay, it's fine, it works in this format. So it's fine. I also end up checking out the manga versions of Fushi no Kami and Housekeeping Mage. I have not read the light novel of Fushi no Kami, but Fushi no Kami has been on my list to read for like a while now.
Oh, same.
But I just never obviously got around to it. So, of course, much easier to get around to the manga, right? So much easier, right?
I didn't like the manga very much.
I like it a little bit. Obviously, it's cutting out. It's obviously not having everything from the light novel, but I feel like it's okay. It kind of sets up the, I think it sets up the appeal of the light novel to a point where, yeah, kind of interested in finally reading the light novel at some point. I know I brought a volume on Bookwalker. I just gotta, you know, buckle down and read it. I've already read the Housekeeping Mage light novel, so,
Also same. I'm definitely doing a review of it once the second volume finishes getting put up.
Yeah, I was curious to see how the manga handles some certain stuff. They still haven't gotten to that one part in the light novel.
I just feel like it's a little more meh compared to a light novel.
No, that's okay. I get it. Like, I feel like the manga you can't really most manga you can't really like replicate how the light novels can be sometimes. But I'm not like dissuaded from like reading any more of either Fushi no Kami and Housekeeping Mage. They're both fine. I kind of like some of the designs. Although, funny enough, I didn't realize for one of the what was her name? The maid, not the mage that that Shiori knows. I didn't realize that's how she was dressed in the light novel. So I was like, oh.
Oh yeah, they definitely mentioned in the light novel that she's wearing something very skimpy.
I was like, wait, I don't remember this. Whoops, and then maybe she did, and then you realize, oh wait, she is very skinny.
Oh no, it is definitely mentioned in the light novel. I definitely remember that coming up. Because it was kind of one of these, she's dressed like this, but she is actually a good-hearted person. Don't let her appearance deceive you.
But I find it fine. But yeah, the light novel was definitely, obviously, a lot better.
Yeah, especially since the story is so internal to start with, I feel like... In some ways, having it be just text, I think, is working a little better. But, you know, we'll just write reviews and let the readers decide.
Right. In terms of not manga, I mean, in terms of just straight manga, no adaptions or anything like that, I ended up checking out Gushing Over Magical Girls and Sometimes Even Reality is a Lie.
Gushing is so horny.
It is... Hard to say if it's actually good or bad.
I gave up on it. It was too horny for me.
It is extremely. It is this girl who really loves magical girls ends up getting tricked. I should put this in quotes. Twicked by some definitely evil person, right? Definitely evil.
I think it was a mascot character.
Yeah, mascot. I'm trying to think. What's that QB knockoff? Definitely a QB knockoff.
Hey, shady as fuck.
That also is shady. Shady mascot ends up giving her magical powers, but they only use it for evil. He's supposed to defeat the magical girls,
spanking them.
not just defeating them. He's supposed to actually humiliate them, and I guess in a way. So SNM ended up blinding one of the magical girls, and I think one of the magical girls ended up liking it. She won't admit it because she's stubborn. She's a Cinderer, but she's I think she's at the recent escapade. She's totally like thinking might. be into it. She's not saying it out loud, but she's totally giving off the emotions that she thinks she might like it.
I mean, Justin, would you want to admit that you liked being tied up and humiliated by your archenemy?
Probably not. The recent chat that I read ended up revealing that Wonder Magic Girls is not who she seems. That's a nice little twist into the dynamic. So yeah, I'm very curious to see where this is going to go, and then I guess how our supposed magical girl is going to get out of this predicament, because she's like, I love magical girls, I don't want to actually hurt them, but she slowly realizes that she kind of likes doing what she's doing. So yeah, I'm still going to read that. And sometimes even reality is a lie. This was kind of fun.
I like this one.
So the basic premise: these are two online gamers. They've been gaming for a while. They got friends. They knew each other through there. They were friendly, all that stuff. They decided they want to meet up in real life. One of them realizes that the other's a girl and the other one is a guy. And that other girl thought it was going to be another girl. Thankfully, there was no, like, oh my god, you're a girl. You're a guy. I didn't want to talk to you. They end up sort of kind of getting friends at the start. She was like, no, I didn't want to. This to talk to you. But then at one point, because Anna mentioned to her parents that she was meeting up with a girl, and I think also to invite her to her house at one point, either that, something along those lines. So they end up getting the idea of, no, you should actually dress up as a girl.
Well, it's that her dad's really overprotective, and she's like, this will not go down well if they find out I was actually meeting up with a guy.
Okay.
Cross-dressing is the only solution.
Yes, that was it. All right, so yeah, so reluctantly, and then he ends up doing just that, and then at some point, he actually doesn't mind it.
Like, yeah, he's like, still doing it reluctantly, but he's kind of gotten used to it to the point of, whatever, I guess this is what we're doing now.
Yeah.
Because he's not having to cross-dress every time they meet up, but whenever she's got like another friend over who has heard her talking about this online friend she's had before, who's so knowledgeable about makeup and clothes and everything, you know, they're having to keep up the lie. And he admits, I was just Googling stuff when you were talking about things, you know,
trying to keep the conversation going. Yeah, that was funny.
Clearly he has good Googling skills. And so it is turning into a very cute romance at this point. Like, yes. The two of them definitely like each other. They're definitely not going to be admitting it for a while. It's also full color, which you don't see too often in manga. And it took me like 3 chapters to realize, oh, it's in full color. But yeah, this one's really cute. I'm enjoying it. I've definitely been posting like screen caps of random out of context panels on Twitter. I feel like I'm discovering a new fetish. Undiscover it.
So that's it for like J-Novel Club stuff. I do want to try to VTuber Light Novel out at some point.
I as I've said before, and I'll say again, I hope the translator and the editor and everybody involved in that project are getting hazard pay. It's not bad, but it is a lot. I might try a few more chapters, but I think it is too much for me.
It's too much? Oh, no. Too, like what? Like the VTubing part just goes out of control, or...
It's not exactly too cringe, but like, I mean, so the very premise of that one is, so the VTuber has, you notice, very pure persona, and then forgets to, you know, turn off her camera one night when she's done streaming, forgets to end stream. Actually, I think she just forgets to end the stream. I think the camera is off. Gets, like, immediately hammered on not Strong Zero and is talking about how much she loves her other VTubers and how she wants to do collaborations with them with some... Yuri baiting vibes and all that jazz just goes total gremlin, and it's a lot.
Okay. All right. Well,
like I said, not bad, but it is a lot.
Okay. But that was not the only. Well, recently I was catching up to the J-Novel Club stuff, but like I think either last month it's definitely been a long time since we talked, because you had so much winter and spring stuff to talk about. But I finally got around to checking out Accomplishments of Deuce's Daughter, the light novel version, not the manga version. This one, funny enough, I was interested before for a while, but then this is before, like, I was interested for a while, but then, like, I think over the last, like, couple months, I was seeing people talk about this in comparison to Realist Hero, because they apparently use similar things. I'm like, there's no way, it can't be that similar. And
I don't know. Maybe she also wants to talk to you about crop rotation.
Potentially. No. So basically, the premise is Iris basically wants to is in a pickle. She's basically about to be essentially killed off. So because of something she did, because she realized the main character realized she's been reincarnated into one of her Otome games, the classic. So she ends up realizing this. She ends up staving off, actually getting like totally killed. But then she ends up talking to her father, who potentially was going to plan on exiling her, but she's able to convince him to eventually just actually say, "Hey, I'm just gonna. I actually think this place could actually." Oh wow, totally forgetting. Oh, everything I had to say about it. But I guess the point is, Iris basically realizes she's there's stuff she needs to do, and she's gonna do it. But basically, her modern knowledge, she's gonna kind of bring into her world. But I think where it gets me is where the fact that it actually does bring some like, okay, it's gonna, instead of actually focusing on like, oh, we're gonna build up the military or anything like that, we're gonna actually focus on what's the heck's happening with our financials. What's happening? We use this fruit. We can actually use this to make money. So it's curious things what they do with the food. Curious things what they do with just how they manage everything. And the only thing that I would say was that kind of like was weird, and it shouldn't be weird, but it's just like it just kept hammering at every time they were saying like, all the retainers or people that she knows have been adopted, like they were basically like originally abandoned, and I was like, I don't know why I find it weird. It's just that I guess, okay, I can see a couple people. It feels like each one she meets, they're like, okay, these are abandoned, so obviously they're gonna be loyal to her. I think that's maybe where I'm getting a little like, eh. It's not like a deal breaker thing to me or anything like that, but just I just noticed that was like, eh. I don't know why. I just find it kind of, did it have to be all of them? Why couldn't all of them just at least like, I don't know, have been like somewhere in the world too, right? So yeah, I read, funny enough, excuse me. I read that, the first volume, it took me like a couple of days. I probably could have read that in like a day. Just something about how the writing style just clicks for me, so I don't know, it just worked out, like the pacing wise and everything. It's like, oh, I gotta know more, gotta know what's happening next. So once I finished first volume, I ended up ordering the next three volumes. So I expect to get to that over this whole month at some point in May. So yeah, fun read. I know you weren't quite in that with the manga, but I am interested to see how the manga handled some aspects of Lando, hopefully at some point soon. So very curious. Very curious about it.
Yeah, and then the last thing I saw since we last recorded is I, like many another nerd, went out to the movie theaters and saw Pompo the Cinephile. I saw the subbed version. I swear to God, my kingdom for a theater showing in this area that actually starts on time. I had to go yell at them 20 minutes in, being like, hey, you're still showing the pre-roll ads. So this is a movie about making movies, based off of a manga about making movies. And I enjoyed a lot, large amount of it, but the last quarter just really nosedived for me. And part of it, I think it's because it is a movie about making movies. So, of course, it's going to gloss over a lot of the good things. I mean, hang on, let me rephrase it. It's going to gloss over a lot of the bad things and focus more on the good things, of course. But the last quarter, it got a little weird. Like, it kept saying, like, oh, the way to make good art is to devote everything to your art. Give up your life. Give up your friendships, etc., etc. And it's like, I'm too old.
Sounds familiar. Sounds familiar.
It's like, I'm too old to believe in this, you know, no. And then there's another thing with a side character who's a banker who's trying to convince his bank to invest in the movie since they need some additional funding. And it turns into this very weird setup. I don't want to give it away, but I kept expecting them to like pull the rug out at some point and go psych. But no, they played this very strange setup all the way through. I think ending with the line like, banks are here to invest in people's dreams, or banks are here to help people make their dreams come true, and all. And with all of my friends I was chatting with about this afterwards, we were all like, excuse me? Like, that's not how banks work. It is kind of nice, though, that for once, like, everything I have about the film that's a complaint seems to be shared with, like, everybody. Since after I saw Belle, you know, so many people were just wholeheartedly praising it when I was like, I don't know, I felt like this had a lot of flaws. But for Pompo, it's like everything I thought was a flaw. Basically, everyone else I'm seeing is like, yeah, I also didn't like that part so much. Since it is based off a manga, I'm really curious about if everything was faithful to the manga or if some things had to be changed due to, like, serialization timelines, stuff like that. And I know the director has said that, like, he really viewed the main character, Gene, as sort of, like, himself being heavily inspired by coming of age, working in the anime industry under Satoshi Kon in his 20s. And the director did direct, write, and storyboard the entire movie himself. So that's also why I'm kind of curious about how much of this is coming from the director rather than the original manga. But otherwise, yeah, I was kind of disappointed after it ended on that note.
Oh, so you liked it, then it
just I was generally enjoying it, and then I was like, what is this bullshit?
Yeah, I've only read the first volume. I'm not sure if the manga's still ongoing. But I know
I think it was fairly short, but I also don't know how long the production for this movie was. It's got to have been a couple of years at least, so I would not be surprised if production on the movie started before the manga was over, if it is concluded.
Right. So I saw volume two lying around, just waiting to be read and reviewed, just waiting.
Do you mean like lying around your house or lying around a bookstore? Or...
No, lying around my, like right next to me, like right on the pile of books that I have saying, Justin, review me. Review me. I will.
You should listen to it.
Eventually. But okay, that's unfortunate for the anime. Because I did hear some positives talk about just in general. I haven't heard like final, like how it ended. Like how the anime, the film ended. I've heard like just generalizations. Like, oh yeah, it was pretty good. They had some flaws, but it was pretty good. But that's unfortunate. I'm still looking forward to it, but yes.
Yeah, off podcast if you want. I can tell you just like what exactly I was having issues with.
No.
You're good? Okay.
The only reason why, because I still want to see it myself, so...
Is it still playing? Since it looked like it was going to be a pretty limited run.
No, like, I'm going to wait till, like, it gets, like, released on, like, either streaming services or digital.
I mean, I think it's G-Kids, so I think we're just going to be waiting, like, 6 months for the DVD then. I don't think it's going to be streaming anywhere.
We'll see. Okay. Yeah, I think that's... It's about all we've been up to in the past couple weeks, huh?
It only took us 30 minutes.
Yeah, that took 30 minutes. But I think we have a much kind of a shorter, not too much to have, but we have some kind of serious stuff to talk about, too. So, excuse me. So we're going to kind of get into it. We're moving into news. No pandemic news, but there, don't be fooled. There were definitely some positive COVID cases that happened over the past couple weeks in Japan and obviously over here, so... obviously still stay safe and stay messed up as much as you can. So with that, we're going to move into news. Going to talk about Netflix to kick things off, mostly because they made notable news because after having their most Japanese subscribers in at least a decade, there have now been rumors about them potentially going with a low-cost streaming tier, but with ads. Whoops. I guess when you lose as much subscribers as Netflix did, I think they lost about 200,000 subscribers from January to March.
And to be clear, it's not like they actually lost money or anything. It's that they didn't grow as much as they planned because this is capitalism. Yeah. You must have constant growth. Steadiness is not acceptable.
Yeah, so I think what put a potentially led to Netflix having this issue. Too much anime, too much canceling of their other good stuff. Nobody knows, but only, well, the results are what they are, and now they got to figure out how to actually fix that. So yeah, it's definitely curious to see what business decisions they make moving forward. I'm not sure if doing ads would work, because it's been so long without having ads, so I'm not sure if that's going to work for them.
Yeah, I can't see myself going for it. And it's so weird, they're also talking about how, like, you know, oh, we need to crack down on password sharing with people outside the household, and it's like, My dudes, my stepdad currently pays for a tier which allows for multiple simultaneous streams. I assure you, it is not that we are, you know, a family that, like, all sits individually and watches Netflix individually in the same house. No, we are split across multiple places, you know, I can't. I'm not paying for, like, 5 different streaming services on my own.
And then it's also, right, gotta remember, they also, instead of, they also keep raising the prices, too, so I think people are now considering, is it worth it to have this streaming service when I have other streaming services? So I think that's also playing a factor into everything as well.
Yeah, and I know they were saying, like, oh, maybe, you know, if you guys live in different zip codes, we won't show, you won't be able to do it, and it's like, well, what if somebody goes on a business trip, you know, to another state, and they want to watch stuff? Like, this is a really stupid idea, Netflix. But that's not new for Netflix. They've also started laying off a whole bunch of people, including, like, folks on shows that were already in production. So it's like, okay, so that's money definitely down the drain, since then you can't actually finish the show and show it and, you know, get people to join the service to watch it. And I saw some other people making the argument that, you know, when you dump a whole show at once, that gives people an incentive to sign up for, like, you know, using a burner email address to make a free account for a weekend, watch a whole show, and then get rid of it. If you release a show weekly, you know, then people, either they have to sign up just at the end and binge it, or if they want to be part of the conversation, they got to sign up for a couple of months at least to watch it all as it comes out. But they seem very determined to reinvent every part of cable television except that part. So, switching gears, voice actor Billy Comets has been diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer and launched a GoFundMe after several people requested that they'd like to donate to it. Considering it says that he first noticed a pain in his shoulder blade, it does sound like the cancer has metastasized. So when I was looking at the Annan article, I don't know what his prospects are, since typically it's really bad once the cancer is spread to other parts of your body. But hoping for, fingers crossed, that it goes well for him, that he's able to get it back into remission, and yeah, hopefully he won't have just tons of medical debt after, you know, trying to stay alive. American healthcare sucks. I am currently preparing to yell at my insurance company to give me the good drugs for migraines instead of making me take other drugs that will not definitely help me with my migraines.
Yeah, that was I think I was just scrolling, obviously, just on Twitter for a bit, and I saw that, and I was like, okay, that sucks.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So yeah, obviously we're just hoping for the best in the situation. And I watched the video. He's definitely really positive about it too. Like, he definitely had if you thought, like, oh yeah, he would be like kind of like depressed about it. And then, like, obviously off camera stuff, he would probably be like feeling depressed. But like to the viewers, whoever watched it, he seemed like, okay, nope, I'm gonna be fine, just fine, just be good.
Yeah, if he's able to keep his energy up after chemotherapy and other treatments, that's a good sign. But just wouldn't blame him if he's only putting that on for the camera and then just in private with friends being like, yo, I'm real depressed.
And then a final bit of news. We've talked about this, obviously, just the wildness of everything that's going on with Damian Mills, Duncan, and what has happened in the past month and a half about the sexual assault case, or not case, because as it turned out, or we think it turned out, Duncan fabricated all the details. So at this point, it's basically over. Damian Mills finally took to Twitter to finally talk about the experience, how that basically went down, or at least everything that went down over the past couple of months, and his basic experience. And he did go to CBR about this. It wasn't ANN. ANN did eventually had to follow up and report.
But do we actually trust the comic book review website? I don't.
Well, in this case, it's not like, In this case, obviously, they went to actor and I guess a lawyer in this case, so it's not like, you can still obviously be a little skeptical, but it's not like they just made technically this up. If anything, it would just be on Damian and the lawyer in this case. It's hard to know the damage this is. I mean, we already know the damage technically, but let's be real. This is definitely something that's going to, is it too dramatic to say that this is going to technically change how these type of articles are getting written for anime in the near future? Because I suspect it kind of will. Because when you have something like this happen, and as much as ANM, and they have resources, they're not disputing that, but I don't know if they have the type of resources like capable to like continually do stuff like this and have this happen anymore. I don't know.
And to be clear, I'm pretty sure ANN only started writing about it once, like, a lawsuit had been filed. So it's not like they were just listening to Joe Schmo rando on the internet. They were looking at, like, illegitimate case filing. I'm fairly sure that's when they started. But yeah, I know that Lindsay Loveridge of ANN had been saying on Twitter that they were getting, like, a lot of emails that were just, you know, when you get a lot of people yelling at you on the internet over a sustained amount of time, no matter how much you try to block it out, it is going to get to you over time.
Right. And then, so yeah, we were obviously the only people who actually know what actually went down is Damien, the accuser. Those are the only two, really. So we don't really know, like, who's technically the truth. At this point, we only know that Duncan technically was a liar. That's all we know right now. But even if you believe that, I'm pretty sure people believe that Damien definitely influenced things. So this is what I mean when I say it's a mess. This is going to linger on pretty much until for a time, because you're not going to be able to just hand wave this away. It's just going to people just, they're just going to be, it's just going to feel that way. It's just going to feel like, yeah, you definitely had some role in this. So it sucks. And then obviously for ANN, again, how they handle stuff like this moving forward, it's definitely going to be tougher just because of how this went down. Okay.
All right, so we're moving into licensing news now. So Kodansha's done their usual digital announcements for May. They actually got these up before May started for this time?
No, they didn't. Oh. They didn't. Just letting you know, they didn't.
Wait, when did they announce these?
No. As usual, they wait till the Kodansha live at the end of the month to actually mention digital stuff. But for the first three titles, they're already up on digital.
For pre-order, I guess, then.
Yeah.
So I was looking at the dates here. As usual, they are going to be releasing new titles every Tuesday, I think it is. Yeah. So we have Nina Kitajima's Oh, Those Hanazono Twins for the third. Kujira's Changes of the Heart also on the third. Madoka Kitaji's This Vampire Won't Give Up for the 10th. Yuki Urashiba's When a Cat Faces West on the 17th. Toyo Toyota's The Untouchable Midori-kun on the 17th. And then, let's see, Kiwa Tokina's Our Fake Marriage Rosé on the 24th. Rin Misasi's Koega Kubu-kun Stole My First Time on the 24th. Don't think I said that name right, but I have never seen that name before in my life.
You didn't even say the author name right.
I tried. And then finally, Serena Oda's The Rokudu Rounds for the 31st at the very end of the month.
I don't know if it's specific, because they call the Changes of Heart. So I don't know. Like, they didn't add a the. So I'm like, is it? I guess that's how it was in the Japanese translation. Interesting.
Listen, folks, in English, we need to have, what are those particles? We need to have them in a sentence. It don't work otherwise.
Yeah. And then, still not done with Kodansha yet. They're partnering with Bookwire to once again release one of those, I'm going to assume this is another one of those 18-plus manga series, ecchi manga series, Takekate's full-color manga. I'll Never Send a Selfie Again. This is also coming out this week on the 3rd, by the time this podcast goes up. And look, I know I'm being general when I say those 18 plus titles, because it's not like they're like,
I don't know, that general title definitely sounds like it could be raunchy.
Like, yeah, I think that's what the word I should be looking for.
And full color raunchy, woohoo!
Full color raunchy, yeah. But as you go by Bookwalker, what they partner with, please, what was it, the teacher? Please don't, what was the shut up teacher? I totally forgot the name.
It's not please teacher, but it's something else.
It's something along those lines, though. Why are you here, teacher? There you go. I think something like that. The temple manga.
Wait, didn't you even watch the anime Why Are You Even Here, Teacher? Didn't you watch that one?
I did.
And you still forgot the name.
I haven't gotten around to reading manga, unfortunately. But yeah, the anime was a while ago. That was a while ago. And there was one more time, I can't remember the other Bookwalker digital exclusive. But yeah, the point is, this is where they go exclusively on Bookwalker raunchiness from Kodansha.
Let's see. Manga Plus is adding a couple of new titles as well. They're going to be bringing over Yasuki Tanaka's Summertime Rendering 2026, The Room That Dreams of Murder. I can only assume that's a spin-off of the Summertime Rendering manga, which is currently made into an anime that is in Disney detention. Joe Miyaku and Mizuki Yoda's Marriage Toxin, all caps, no spaces. And then one that I've been looking forward to, Aka Akasaki and Mengo Yokoyari's Oshinoko. No localized title for that one, but this is basically the Scum's Wish and Kaguya-sama's Love is War. Creators teaming up to do one about two people being reincarnated as the babies of their favorite idol. I have read all 8 chapters that are out so far and I'm enjoying it. Also,
it
one.
Is two?
What'd you say? Twins!
So, true story. I obviously went to share the news on Twitter, on the Oshi Twitter. I only went through the first chapter, and I basically just kind of skim. I just gotta try. Yeah, I gotta get some images to use, all the good stuff. But as far as I remember, I just saw the one reincarnation.
Nope, it's twins. Twin boy, twin girl. She got knocked up at 16. They are definitely hiding it. Yeah, this was a title where I was kind of waiting on it to get licensed, since I know it's pretty big in Japan right now, and I feel like an anime announcement isn't terribly far off. So, at least I have it legally now, because I had read a chapter scantlated before, but only read one, so now we're good to go. And then Seven Seas Wonderful Wednesdays are back! Their break did not last very long. Justin and I had an argument online.
I actually had to check about this. I mean, it was decent enough. It was like it was, like, obviously long, but I feel like they've been doing this for, like, a good while. I'm like, stop. Just take a break. At least a 2-week break, at best. They did that. So it's good. We all recharged. Give me the announcements. Give them to me.
So they're bringing over Shoko Hidaka's Anti-Romance, Oni Gunso's Malevolent Spirits Monogatari, Hawkman and Mecha Root's Night of the Living Cat. And let's see. So this last one, deep breath. Roku Juyon Okazawa, Jun Sase Miyuki, and Yuichi Murakami's Let's Buy the Land and Cultivate It in a Different World. I'm assuming all of these are manga, since I don't see any light novel notes on them.
These are indeed all manga.
Okay. That last one, you know, kind of had a light novel title, you know, so.
It definitely is based on a light novel for sure. We have three different, it's rare, but I mean, I think it's rare if you have like three different manga, different type of creators on a manga.
That's probably the original author, illustrator credited as character designer, and then the mangaka, so.
Yeah, other way around. Author, manga artist, and then character designer.
Well, I never said I was saying them in order, but.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, this is based on a light novel.
And then I will make you do all the Futakiya titles.
Yes, I will do the Futakiya. So I meant to put this in here. The Anti-Romance Volume 1 is going to be released as a special edition. It's just going to have some of the art gallery. There's, a color art gallery for that title that was in a booklet, but it's going to be put into one volume over here. So that's nice for Seven Seas to do that. It's nice. And I know for BL fans, they'll probably be looking forward to that too. Speaking of BL, I know that they're going to be looking forward to more Futakiya titles that they got to read on that subscription service. So here's what they licensed. Samba Maikawa's Oretachi no Hanashi wo Shiyo, Sanosuke's Boss to Yasu, Ryo Ito's Koi wo Shiu Niha Mara Aoi, Makia's Gunosines, Senin Tachi wa Yukaku de Koi wo Siru, Hane's Suki ni Nata Hito ga Bari Neko Deshita, Taru Nakamaru's Kora-san, Uchi Kimasho, Igarai Oto to Basusuchi Otoko, Meru's Yusha Sama no Are ga Chit Kyu Sugite Koi Matemasu, Ryo Ito's Koi ni kizutsu sono hi kara, Salties. How come that's the only simple alter name here? Salties Aseta Suki's to Amai Kiba, and Kana Aizumi's Kyomo Futago ni semarate masu. So those are all the titles. There's a very good chance they will all be localized in the near future, just not now.
And give it up for Justin for taking that on.
Yeah, I'm still not doing it. I might as well just torch myself by doing the JML Club announcements too. Yes, that's right. JML Club had announcements. Very low-key announcements this time. They're obviously saving their big announcements for Anime Bustin, which is upcoming Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, basically they had a live stream and I straight up forgot it was happening and Justin ignored it was happening. So I was like, Justin, they're announcing Bookworm. And Justin's like, that's not even news at this point.
It really, look, them announcing Bookworm side stories is definitely not news to me. They're already the Bookworm house. They're going to be bringing every single piece of Bookworm that will exist. Book it. The only time it will ever be news if another publisher licenses a Bookworm manga licenses a Bookworm property. That's it. That would, at this point, the only reason they don't bring any more over is because of what their translator has been working on. That's it. They're trying to save their translator, okay?
Yes, please protect the staff from, like, not being overworked on titles.
And I think like right now there's even like the part 3 and part 4 of the manga versions that exist in Japan right now, but they can't bring it over because they gotta do part 2 first of all, and then they gotta save the translator. Like, come on. It will never be news to me that they're getting more Bookworm. At this point it's like, okay,
our Bookworm for granted.
time 2023, 2024, 2023, it's fine. I will say I was surprised that they are going to bring this series against Suki Manga in print. The reason why is because I don't know if it's, so we talked about earlier about manga and light novels not being very good. And yeah, I'm starting to feel that way with this manga. It's just not really drawn very well. It's just not.
So you will not be picking this up then?
Definitely not. I'm glad I caught up to the Silent Pop versions, the Silent Pop series right now. Yeah, I don't see myself paying for this. It's not very good. Like, if I was, like, you watch the anime, it'd just be like, hey, but this technically is following the light novel and everything. It's not like it's rushing through everything. That's great. That's fine and everything, but it just draws so poorly. I'm sorry for the art. The artist does some really cute stuff, but in terms of action or anything like that, which unfortunately is how the light novel is kind of, like, it kind of distinguishes itself with that and its pacing, it just doesn't work. And now they're gonna release it in print and at the manga in print, I didn't see it coming. I didn't think it would. I don't know if it'd be worth it for them, but we'll find out.
Yeah, it's kind of rough to be a manga artist at times. Like, if you're doing like a light novel adaptation, you got to be able to do fights. You got to be able to make the characters look cute. You know, you got to be able to keep like some really boring talking head scenes going. Like, definitely not an easy job on top of like all of the usual manga drawing issues.
And then I guess I'll finish the rest of this off. G Kids had licensed two licenses. Deji Meets Girl, which is an interesting one because I feel like this aired during the fall, and I was like, why didn't anybody pick this up? What's wrong with that? And then now G Kids, now you're gonna license that. But they also, I think, they're gonna have this in theaters at some point this year. So it's nice of them. And they got Nadia, The Secret of Blue Water. They're gonna have it in a 4K restoration too. So, interesting. And I said interesting.
Well, that makes me glad I never picked up the Sentai version.
Yeah, I thought Sentai still had the rights to that. I didn't realize
they lost it. It went off streaming a little while ago because it might have been a year or two since I remember the last time I had a High Dive subscription. I was looking for it since this was a series I'd wanted to watch and it wasn't up by that point. So, everything has worked out for me, I guess. And now, is it time for the weird news, Justin? I think it's time.
It is.
Let's see. One thing we didn't put on here, but that occurred to me. I think it's kind of weird that Wotokoi is now getting, like, three different variant covers in the U.S.
No, it's not.
For last volume.
This isn't weird.
This isn't an American comic, Justin. This is a manga. Look, I have friends definitely debating if they want the Barnes & Noble, the Books A Million, or the Kinokuniya version.
I've already locked it up as getting the Kinokuniya version.
That's a pretty good one.
Them as kids, it was just drawn too cutely. It was just too cute.
And you get the free Shikishi with it, so.
Okay, I'll real talk. I don't really want it.
Okay, if it's a cute drawing, though, I may request that you send it to me.
Yeah, I'll probably send it. I'll probably send it to you. I guess you could say it's weird, but this is not like an unusual thing for Kodansha. They did it with Attack on Titan.
But Attack on Titan and Wotokoi are, like, the only two they've done this for. They haven't even done this for, like, Sailor Moon, stuff like that.
Well, first of all, Sailor Moon's got, like, a million different releases that they've done.
I mean...
And it also, funny enough, funny true story, before this podcast, I think a year later, early today, I found out they are doing a Barnes & Noble exclusive edition of Sailor Moon, that new collection,
the big
paperback,
one,
the new one, the Eternal editions, that there's gonna be now paperback version, so only cheaper. There's apparently a Barnes & Noble exclusive version that's gonna have a exclusive poster. I found that out maybe hours ago.
Oh, as a side note, so I was going around DC the other weekend, I'm trying to be sociable, doing things, and I thought I spotted a lone remaining Barnes & Noble in the city, since for some reason the landlords keep kicking them out. No, it was a lie. It was the Barnes & Noble associated with the Catholic University of America, and they still had a little manga table in there. So I went in, I looked, their collection was kind of crappy, but that was the first time I'd seen one of those Cardcaptor Sakura collections, collector's edition versions in public, and holy shit, those books are so big! those would not fit on my regular manga shelves. They would have to get put up on the shelf for oversized books.
They're
so big!
What was it? Do you see Clover there, too?
No, it was a really small selection. A table.
I have a local Barnes & Noble next to me from, one of my universities, one of the close universities. They don't have from what I last checked, they didn't have a really good selection either. I don't know, it just is what it is. I think Berserk, I would definitely. those, I've seen those before. They look so huge. Mm-hmm. So huge.
Yeah, it made sense when I was buying, the Magic Knight Ray Earth collector's editions, because they're in a box, it's three volumes together, yada, yada, yada. But this is just, one volume on its own, and it's huge.
But,
I'll just keep my old Tokyopop versions for the moment.
Okay, but won't the translations be kind of dated, though?
The Tokyopop ones?
Yeah.
They're more for sentimental value. I've read those so many times, I don't exactly need to reread them at this point.
Okay, fair.
Also, when I got the Tokyopop ones, I got the first half of the series in two box sets, and so they were the versions that came with the special cards, the special bookmarks that looked like the Cloud cards, so it was real cute.
Okay, but I guess just to kind of close this one, the point is, I feel like obviously Konachi just kind of shifted. They are doing more variants or trying to be kind of creative, and if bookstores in this case reach out and say, hey, we really like this, might as well do it. This is not obviously Barnes & Noble did this with Tokyo Ghoul, where they had monster editions. So if a bookstore reaches out and says, hey, we want to do X, Y, and Z, I don't think, it's fine. And I think also BAM did that for not just Attack on Titan and Walter Quinn, but they also did with Don't Torture Me, Nis Nagatoro. So this is not new. This is just not. Sorry to break your, sorry to give you to be a bearer of bad news, Helen, or good news. That's good news. Right? Yeah, it's news. but okay, you saw your weird news. Fine, I'm going to get to the actual weird news. And I know we didn't have a streaming. We did not actually have technically a streaming news, but this is technically streaming. Tubi TV is going to be streaming the English dub of The Laws of Science, The Age of...
The Laws of the Universe.
The Laws of the Universe, The Age of Elohim, sponsored by Happy Science. Yay!
AKA, this is one of those movies made by a literal cult in Japan.
Yeah, that's why it's not... It's streaming news, but that's why it's not in that.
It's weird streaming news because it's made by an actual cult. Mike Tool has done some panels and columns on all this because this is not the only one. This is a rarity and an oddity, but not an exclusivity. No, I don't think that's how that word works. Anyway,
the point is, this is obviously. I think we talked about Happy Science last time and how they managed to infiltrate their way into certain elements. It's just not very. It's not very good. Or I guess point out, last time we talked, they allegedly infiltrated a particular manga and got that canceled. So we will say alleged. But yeah, they have some more growing influence, and this is obviously one of the ways they've done it, by sponsoring this anime. But now Tubi TV is streaming it. If you want to actually see how weird it is, you can go ahead. But you get to see it dubbed. There you go.
And then moving along, since unions seem to be in the air and other workers trying to, get basic rights from their company, it seems to be a mood in the U.S. right now. On April 15th, an anonymous employee filed a complaint with the National Labor Relations Board against Nintendo, alleging coercive statements, discharge, retaliation against concerted activities, which is probably talking to your coworkers to see if you want to make a union, and surveillance. I don't think we have too many details on this yet, since it's just been filed. And, of course, Nintendo will probably, you know, submit its own papers saying, no, of course not.
Yeah.
And I did see somebody on Twitter say, who said that they worked for, oh, this is Nintendo of America, or I think that's the specific name of it. But this is the American branch, not the Japanese branch. And I saw someone on Twitter who said, I worked there for a number of years. I don't anymore. But yeah, I remember seeing people who were hired in contract positions for like 10 years. And the whole point of contract positions is supposed to be, you know, just like stopgap measures, you know, for a short period of time, not something long term. At least in the context of this kind of contract work, it does vary from industry to industry. Government contracting is a whole can of worms I have desperately tried to avoid my entire life. but yeah, so I definitely think that the employees have, I don't know if they have legal grounds or legal cause, but it sounds like, yeah, Nintendo has been doing some things which are not entirely fair to the workers and that they need to change, and it seems like they might just need to bring the sword of the law down on them to make them do it.
Right, and then, yeah, like, as you mentioned, it's very, like, it's not much here. We all had this technically go on, if we go with the article, but what I found interesting was the fact that I saw some stuff on Twitter that's like, no, Nintendo is just like every other company, even the Japan one. This is how they kind of treat people like this. So I was like, oh, snap. Like, there's people that,
which is definitely a shame, since...
Yeah, that's not what you want to hear.
Nobody wants to hear, you know, oh, look at this great company. We regret to inform you that this company is an asshole towards its employees. We don't want companies to get milkshake ducked, you know?
Really don't. It's just, yeah, it's not what I want to see. Tell Monday also had a bit of discussion, but this were entirely different reasons. So I'll make sure I get this right. And
I was listening to ANN's podcast, the ANN After Show, where Lindsay Loveridge was going into some details about it, which I found her explanation there a bit more enlightening than the one in the article, or just at least a little more clear.
Okay, interesting. I mean, the article basically talks about how one of the there's this magazine. It's a financial newspaper, the Nikkei. It had a full page ad featuring Toa on Monday, which basically is a fantasy manga. It stars a high school age girl. In theory, like, if you just add a context, I mean, sure, it's obviously like there's something about it, but it's like nothing. Like, she's not naked or anything. She's like not like in a bra. So in general, it's like tame. But the issue was the fact that a financial newspaper actually had this in the magazine. There was a group that was like, why would you do this? Make sure I get the group name here right. The UN Women's Unstereotype Alliance.
Which is actually not associated with the UN officially, but...
Right. And they wanted to... They called that out. They wanted to get a response from Kodansha. Since then... we've had one politician, one of the liberal Democratic Party members, end up just saying, he tweeted, like, I purchased the volumes of Toa Monday, and then unfortunately Akamatsu had to also, as usual, anything involving something like this would get his commentary on that. So that basically meant, yes, you also have to include it in this topic. So yeah, I was actually a little ambivalent about this at the start, because I'm like, I get it. Something about this is weird, but the actual image is just, I don't know. It's just not, is this enough for me to, the only thing you really can say is that, yes, this probably shouldn't have been in the newspaper. I'm not sure if it needs this level of attention. I think that's where I was at last time.
Yeah, if I had read just the article, I would have felt more ambivalent about it as well. But after listening to the ANN After Show, they were talking about how, this is basically the equivalent of the Bloomberg. So, you know, it is a newspaper read basically exclusively by business folks, high-level business folks. Don't know if it is as expensive as Bloomberg is or not. But basically it was something posted like the start of the week, you know, to encourage, you know, businessmen. And I think the premise of the series is even that like a high school girl with big boobs keeps meeting businessmen on trains or something. So it's definitely something that's a little raunchy. And I think more than anything else, it was kind of suggestive or implied, you know, that this idea of, oh, here's something to keep you going for this week, you know, the picture of a nubile young high school girl. I think that was the intent of the ad even. And so the group that was protesting, the UN Women's Group, they were saying, look, we have some agreements with various organizations saying that when you put in ads that they conform to a couple of things for, you know, decent human rights, you know, is this objectifying a group, you know, is this, you know, unfair, et cetera, et cetera. And they were saying that, no, this really doesn't fit those things. Yeah, I would just recommend people go listen to the ANN episode to get a bit more of an in-detail description of it. Fair. We've been podcasting for an hour and a half. My brain is shot by this point. I can't do any more words.
Fair enough. All right, then we'll have to try to move on to other topics, and some go from, okay, kind of normal weird to, well, this totally went to a turn from the weirder. So I'm going to start with the kind of normal, but also kind of unusual weird. Black Clover is going to be on hiatus for the next 3 months, so Yuki Tabata can prepare for the final arc. I have to admit, it's rare to really get a manga that takes this long of a break in between, like, a serialized series that's been as long going as this series has been. Like, I can't really think of anything that even fits its particular profile. Maybe it's, it might have happened before, but I can't really say in recent memory it's happened. So in some ways it's kind of rare.
I can't think of any, like, super long breaks. I do remember towards the end of The Promised Neverland, they were taking, like, a couple of shorter breaks so that the creators could, like, gather real world materials. Which we all thought meant was, like, just take a break, but then they, like, stuck in all these drawings of, like, a drowned New York at the end. It was like, oh no, they were actually were collecting real-world materials.
I think, didn't, like, one of their, I could be wrong on this, didn't, like, one of their, I feel like they referenced COVID at some point, didn't they? Didn't they?
I don't think so. I think The Promised Neverland ended before COVID really got underway, but... But anyway, yeah, sometimes people will start taking more breaks, like, towards the end of a series, but 3 months is an unusually long length, but... good for them. They probably need it.
But I do want to also point out, I think also because of how Tabata has been over the past couple of years, he's had Tabata's had some health issues that has occurred over the past couple of years. Like, you even see, like, even like at some points, and I can tell you, like, when I read the Weekly Shonen Jump chapters, there are some points where you actually just see, like, instead of finished chapters, you see, like, kind of like the unfinished parts in there as well. So yeah, I'm also thinking it may be health related too. I don't know. It's obviously a speculation on my part. But yeah, so you have that, and then you have, I don't know what happened. I still have yet to figure out what the, apparently there's some big twist that happened, which I still haven't gotten to yet. I'm still a couple chapters behind. So I'll find out. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this final arc happens. I feel like there's so much to actually explore technically in Black Clover. But obviously, it's like, yeah, it's on the, wearing this series down. But who knows how long it's going to be. Like, you say it's in this final arc. But, like, final arc can say, like, at least, like, 3 or 4 years at this rate. So, it's definitely going to end. It's just going to be when it's going to end. 2026. Don't know. Maybe 2027. We'll find out. Now, if you had told 10-year-old me about Jordan and Naruto actually having a collaboration, I obviously would have asked you, who the heck is Naruto? That's what I told you, because I was like,
because that one really started when we were in high school.
big Jordan fan. So not, but now, if you said 13 or 14-year-old me, where I know about Naruto, I was actually kind of big in Naruto at the time. Well, not like crazy big, but I did watch a bunch of Naruto. I would have said you were crazy. Like, first of all, anime and sports, no way.
Sports. Other people being actual nerds?
Yeah, who, there's no way. And so even just wrapping around Naruto and one of the greatest... basketball players collaborating, even if it's like a brand thing, that's impossible. But Helen is 2022. Anime is totally respected and admired by many across the world.
I wouldn't say respected and admired, but it is at least acknowledged.
So yeah, now we have a Naruto and Jordan brand collaboration. So yeah, the Naruto brand keeps growing. Like, it's still mind-boggling to see how that just keeps growing. And in this case, obviously, Zion Williamson, I imagine, grew up watching anime and saw Naruto at some point, and this is how the collaboration came to be. So, yeah, Kishimoto even drew Zion in like a hidden leaf gear. So that was neat. That was fun. The only thing I wished that happened was Zion. Unfortunately, Zion's been hurt. he was hurt this past year, so I feel like it would have made even more of an impact he was playing. But it's still notable, somebody of his level, like this type of collaboration, super big, super crazy. You would never, I would never imagine anything like this happening ever, but it is happening now. Just crazy.
And then continuing on, since I guess I am more familiar with VTubers than you are at this point, since I follow a couple of folks who just basically do streams but with VTuber avatar instead of an actual camera on their face. Some of the Hololive VTubers, I believe these are all from the Japan branch, posed for the upcoming Doctor Strange film poster. It included the talent La Plus Darkness, which is written as LA plus sign, Darkness with three S's at the end? Anyway, Shirakami, Fukubu, Aki Rosenthal, Ozoro Subaru, Sakura Miko, Inugami Korone, Takane Lui, and Sakamoto Chloe. Good God, you can tell I'm an anime fan. I have so much of an easier time with these cutesy generic names than, like, actual author names. They teamed up for a visual replicating the poster for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Is that movie out yet?
It's coming out this week.
Okay, because I feel like I've heard people talking about it for weeks. I haven't seen any actual reviews for it.
I've been trying so hard to avoid all the... There's so many ads on TV. I just hold my hands up to my eyes. Just like, I don't see nothing. I see nothing. It can't see me.
See no evil.
just try my best. I haven't caught up to any of the Marvel stuff. Like, I just... Like, seriously, like, I think this past few weeks, I just finished Shang-Chi. I just finished that. So I suppose I gotta watch The Eternals. And then Spider-Man, No Way From Home. I don't really want to watch any of the TV shows just yet, but I might have no choice. Especially for, I think I watch WandaVision. But yeah.
Yeah,
I'm trying to avoid everything.
Yeah, Moon Knight sounds like it could be fun. And I think the only one I'm really interested in right now is the new, Thor Love and Thunder one, because Taiki Waititi is directing it again. But before that one comes out, I'm actually going to have to look up to see if I need to watch other stuff to fill in the gaps. So a couple of episodes ago, we mentioned that voice actress Shoko Nakagawa was applying to become an astronaut with JAXA. But unfortunately, she failed to pass the first level of screening. Looks like about 50% of people passed that one. So don't know if she'll try again, since... contrary to what people might think, the space agencies around the world, they don't actually have openings to apply for to be an astronaut every year. It's every few years or so. Looks like this was the first time in about 6 years or so that JAXA had opened up. I know the U.S. typically goes like 3 or 4 years between openings. But yeah, becoming an astronaut is hard. You need a lot of knowledge in a lot of different areas.
Yeah.
And then finally, to wrap up this episode... Dick Fight Island is back! by which I mean that somebody, maybe an employee, maybe an enterprising customer, took one of those recommendation cards at Barnes & Noble and wrote a recommendation for Dick Fight Island on there, which went viral online for both people who already know what Dick Fight Island is and were laughing about it, and people who had never heard of Dick Fight Island before. And they drew a picture of Squidward on it as well, making it sound like Squidward had reviewed it, recommended it. I don't know, this doesn't really seem like Squidward's idea of beautiful, but whatever.
Look, if you can get away with heavy if you can get away with a Squidward recommendation, how it's erotic manga Dick Fight Island trend on Twitter, that you just gotta roll with it, right? That is what it is.
I still remain amazed at how good this localized title is, because the original title in Japanese is just like The Eight Warriors. And if you look at the original Japanese cover, it's got like one of those wraparound on the front, you know, advertising something else. So it totally looks like a guy in like a weird stick. You know, it's only when you have it completely unwrapped, you know, and with like Dick Fight Island on there that you realize, oh, that is said dick.
There you go. It's pretty big. Yeah, big dick. Big.
Taking the metaphors of sword fighting literally.
I will just call out Anne in a little bit. They claim it was the Squidward. They saw first, maybe that's a part of it, but I didn't think that was the reason it was trending. Like, I saw the first tweet that I saw was somebody else that tweeted like a bunch of like books at one of the big bookstores. Found it was like the Kinokuniya of Sydney. Tweeted out a bunch of books. It was obviously a bunch of Yuri and Boys Love books. And then that's how I first saw it. And then the culture is just hilarious. Just so funny. They're just calling out the massive, the what was it, the Bara type of gay books. And then somebody saw, obviously, Dick by Islands. That was funny. They was just saying, like, look at all these other Yuri titles, like, Given and...
Wait, Yaoi titles, you mean?
Yaoi.
So, I was going to say, Given is definitely not Yuri, unless it's changed since I last...
The whole section was Boys Love and Yuri and basically the LGBTQ spectrum. That's how the whole section was. And they saw there were people in the quote trees just calling out Given, what was it? The Tropical Fish, Journey to Snow. And then saw another tweet that I had to retreat because they were talking about how you see all these titles at the bookstore. You see all these girls' love titles at the bookstore, Coursera and Donuts and what was it? Donuts.
It's like Donuts Under a Crescent Moon.
Yeah, it's Crescent Moon. And then you go to Boys Love Manga and it's like Dick Fight Island. Yeah, I had to start out. That tree was funny.
It's funny it's true, but you know, both of those give, you know, a very accurate representation of what to expect in there. Yes. Are you going to get something, you know, cutesier and sweeter, or are you going to get Dick Fight Island?
So yeah, so this is like the second time it really trended, the Dick Fight Island trended on Twitter, or trended like this, because they had the Amazon thing sometime last year.
Yeah, this is at least the second time it's trended on social media, as more and more people discover, like, just quite literally the title.
Yeah, that's all because, hey, somebody relates. Yeah, saying the Eight Warriors as a localized title kind of sucks. I don't even say it sucks, but they probably say, no, this can't work. Let's come up with something that actually makes sense with what this title actually is all about. And hey, it did its job.
And with that, I think we have wrapped up this episode. Who knows, once this episode is done, Justin and I might keep talking about Bookworm, because I have so many thoughts on this.
Oh, God. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I mean, none of them are going to be spoilers for you, and just, I need to, like, get even farther ahead of my reviews so I have time to, like, go back and read Bookworm things and just start doing reviews. Since I was surprised, like, you love Bookworm, and yet you've never done reviews for it on the site. We actually don't have any reviews of, I think, like, the manga or the light novels.
But I'm scared.
I mean, I think Nemo has done, like, some stuff on the anime, but, like...
I'm scared, though.
We gotta rectify this.
I don't review something I love, I think.
Do you not love WeChat?
I also love WeChat, but there's certain things about Bookworm. And then also, I think the problem is, which part am I reviewing... I'm sticking to the print versions, Helen. I don't want to.
Yeah, this is true, but
I don't want to just. I don't know.
But we need to, because Helen,
I'm conflicted.
Because people seem to think that I am the bigger Bookworm fan of the two of us, but actually, it's you. Like, I was listening to the latest Anime Gamers podcast, and Ink was talking about, you know, Ascendance of a Bookworm is back, and he was saying something. He's like, "Oh God, I'm getting this all wrong. Helen's gonna kill me." And it's like, "No." Also, why are you thinking of me killing you? It's definitely Justin who would kill you. I am much more forgiving about people forgetting, like, intricacies of details.
I can't say if I'm the same, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I told you about this, and you were like, which episode and what time skip? I want to, like, find it so I can kill them. And I'm like, no, Justin!
Anyways, before we get into potentially killing anybody, we should probably end the podcast. You can find the Watch Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, any RSS service you got. You can add us there, subscribe by email. You can check out the OSG. Twitter at Yoshi for any manga, anime, sometimes anime, other news, definitely light novel news. And you can check out Yoshi.com for reviews and features. You can find me on Twitter at Kami_Nomi, definitely between Fire Emblem stuff. And maybe other stuff. Maybe.
Yeah, that picture of Mercedes from Fire Emblem with a gun just came across my timeline again. Woo! And I'm still laughing at it.
just what we need, more mercy with a gun. Just what we need.
I'm a healer, but I am a holy woman and I will beat you senseless.
You mean shoot you senseless?
You know, same difference. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter at Wandering Dreamer, and you can find the other podcast I co-host on Twitter at Manga in Your Ears. I think our latest episode was one where we did a double helping of Naoki Urasawa, but that might have been 2 ago. We got some stuff coming up. For some reason, April suggested Wandering Witch, so that's going to be fun, since, as folks who read my reviews know, I was not a big fan of the light novels. Weird.
No, but the light novels, I will let you, the light novels I can get you on, I mean, the light novels I can understand, I will not hear any slander from the manga. I have converted.
I mean, I'll say, yeah, the manga was fine, but I am just reminded of the light novels, and they're just general strangeness in an unpleasant fashion. But that is something for folks to tune into on my other podcast. So until next time, folks. Bye.
Bye, everybody.